20.
See, Ms. Garcia, I do not see Mr. Sweet Apple.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honor. He's logging in right now. He was having a technical difficulty.
I guess. No problem. Does he have the right Zoom link? Because I think this might be a special Zoom link. You may want to send him whatever one you have.
This is the one he included in his notice of hearing, Your Honor.
Okay.
If you'll bear with me just 1 minute, Your Honor, I'm getting him on right now.
No problem. Yes, I'll plug that.
My apologies for the delay, Your Honor. He was having a problem with his internet, so he's calling in right now.
See, Ms. Salm had her hand raised and then just dropped off. Oh, no, she's unraised her hand. Don't have anybody in the waiting room.
It would be outside.
No, I know that. He's...
Let me double check with him.
While you're doing that, let me at least start to get appearances of everybody. So we're here on case 2018. CA-2317. May I have the appearances of the parties, please?
Cynthia Miller and Robert Sweetapple on behalf of plaintiff.
Ms. Miller, good morning.
Inger Garcia on behalf of defendant BFR and the five individual Bernstein members.
Ms. Garcia, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
On behalf of the guardian.
Ms. Lewis, good morning. Mr. Sweetapple, can you just enter your appearance and let me rename you?
Yes, sir. Robert Sweetapple on behalf of the Guardian.
have Mr. Hall in the waiting room. Anyone else need to enter an appearance, or is everybody else just observing? Okay. All right, so we're here on a scheduling conference and motion for protective order. I guess with respect to the motion for protective order, since it's a somewhat substantive motion, why don't I turn to Ms. Garcia for her motion? I'm assuming it's the motion for protective order is contained in the objection to the motion to compel deposition of Ms. Patwell.
Your Honor, if I may, I have a motion to compel Ms. Garcia, which was filed as well. It's a cross motion. It's noticed for today.
Right. So today, when we set the matter for two motions for protective order, and I was just trying to see if there was a new filing that wasn't in the court file with respect to the request for protective order that I had not yet reviewed since the last time we were in court. I could have asked the question a lot better, and I didn't, but that's what I was getting at.
No, sir, but I just wanted to make the court aware that there are motions to compel that were filed.
I didn't receive a joint status report. We're going to talk about all that. I just want to get the motion for protective order out of the way.
Okay. So they've asked these very same depositions.
Okay, so you're asking for the depositions, and she is seeking a protective order against it. So,
The point I'm making is, I believe I should go first. There was no protective order filed. This is the situation where Ms. Garcia was subpoenaed in April, and then filed a motion for protective order the day of the depositions. It never was set for hearing before the deposition, and she failed to appear at the deposition. So. I do think the court needed some background as to how this arose. But if you want Ms. Garcia to go first, that's fine. But I did file a motion to compel her.
Well, we can take the scheduling before we take the protective order. That's fine. I have other matters that I have to give, so we don't have the whole morning. But where's my status report?
I can tell the court I filed a motion for sanctions. As of last Friday, we had made probably a dozen attempts to have a conference with Ms. Garcia. I understand this morning she finally sent her proposed exhibits to us. She failed to meet at any time for a status conference and failed to respond to our proposed order. So we have been extremely frustrated. It's just more dilatory conduct here, and I'm going to ask the court to separately schedule a case management conference so that we can get these matters resolved. This is a situation where, just to give you an example of why we're here this morning, I filed these motions back in May, and Judge Oftedal indicated that they were going to be heard, and she had to give us time for hearings. No times were given, and then the trial came, and we still hadn't had any cooperation, and we moved for scheduling conference then. But we're just making no progress here. There's an absolute attempt to just continue to remain in this home without paying any monies that are owed, and to prevent the foreclosure from proceeding. So I desperately need the court to set a 30-minute case management conference so that we can,
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for, Mr. Sweetapple. So let me find out Ms. Garcia's position.
Okay, Your Honor, without any attacks, that's not actually what's going on. He sent me his proposed stipulations and exhibits. I responded that I told him I was busy, and then he gave me until 1 o'clock the day it was due. I spent 4 or 5 more hours. I sent him an emails, told him I was going to file an extension for the exhibits. So at 6 o'clock, I filed my extension for the exhibits.
That motion is denied, by the way.
Which one?
Your motion for extension.
Okay.
Last time we were here for a case management conference, I asked for the same information. You didn't provide it, and you told me it was because it was your birthday, and it had had fallen away by the wayside. So I ordered it in advance of this hearing so that we could have a hearing today. And it is not here. I don't have it.
Today, honestly, Your Honor, today the only thing said is the notice, the motion to compel my deposition. This is not set for today. The status conference is not set for today. And I understand, and I'm gonna provide the court our notes to show the court I've made good faith. I've spent 4 or 5 hours with my stipulations. He never responded. Instead of responding to my request for stipulations, he filed a motion for contempt. And he never, still to date, hasn't responded to any of my requests for stipulations. I've responded to all of his.
If they were like the ones from the last hearing, the red line ones, you were functionally asking him to stipulate to set aside the settlement agreement. You're asking him to stipulate to set aside the final judgment.
Your Honor, I think
it doesn't appear to be in the spirit of what I'm asking for to narrow the issues. It does appear to be dilatory.
It isn't, Your Honor. If you look at what I sent him the stipulation. He sent me his stipulations. I went through and explained to him exactly my responses, and I sent him my stipulations. It's not dilatory. I worked very hard to try to narrow the issues by stipulating facts that are obvious, and he did not respond. Instead, he just filed the motion for contempt.
Can someone help me out with the procedural posture of the case? I want to make sure that I haven't had the pleasure of handling this case all the way through from beginning to end. But my understanding is this was a foreclosure action. There was a judgment that was entered by Judge Castronakis. That judgment was then, there were several motions for reconsideration, several appeals taken. Judge Castronakis denied those motions for reconsideration. The appeals were dismissed. There was at some point a bankruptcy filing preventing the sale. And then the way the case came to me was it was assigned to my division, but the posture is it's post-judgment, post-appeal, and there's the first thing that is pending before me is basically a competing motion, Ms. Garcia's motion to set aside the final judgment, and Mr. Sweetapple's motion to set aside the settlement agreement, which is, I think, a basis for her motion to set aside the final judgment. But it is a post-judgment matter. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor, and a many-year judgment with the.
I know it's a 2018. It's a 2018 case. I understand it's an old case. I'm just trying to find out. When we're here talking about taking multiple depositions of people, some of whom have already testified, I'm trying to figure out, is that the highest and best use of our time? So,
well,
I guess my question is really for Mr. Sweetapple would not be filing a motion to set aside the settlement agreement if Ms. Garcia was not filing a motion to vacate the judgments, right?
No, she's trying to enforce the settlement agreement, saying that there's been some agreement made with my former client, Mrs. Somm,
right,
who had already been determined by the committee been incapacitated.
I don't want to rehash the evidence. I guess my question is, I think you, Mr. Sweetapple, were asking me for 2 or 3 days for a hearing on a motion to set aside a settlement agreement that, quite honestly, I never saw an order by the court accepting the settlement agreement or anything like that. I had to go hunt and find it. There was a notice of filing. I think it was docket entry 221. The settlement agreement is just notice of filing of the settlement agreement. There's no order accepting it or ratifying it or anything like that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't understand why I am having you proceed with your motion instead of having Ms. Garcia present her evidence to set aside the final judgment, which is final, its rehearing's been denied, and the appeal has been denied.
Because I think, as you pointed out at the last hearing, the order should be, right now there's a purported settlement agreement that Ms. Garcia has gone to the guardianship court involving another matter and said, oh, I need the money out because we have a settlement, we want to have a closing. So she's claiming to have a right to redeem this mortgage and to pay it off for fractions of what's owed based on this fraudulent settlement. So I need to take discovery from the participants in this fraud, which unfortunately happened to be two lawyers who did this. And the facts are outrageous when you find out how this occurred. But that definitely is the threshold issue. The 1.5 for a motion is just a pure dilatory legal argument that can be disposed of based in about 30 minutes based on the pleadings themselves. Everything in that motion has been by Judge Castronakis and is the law of the case. The only thing that they argue that has not been addressed is this silly argument that because Walter Somm died prior to the final judgment and is still named in the style, which never changes, and because there was no suggestion of death, that somehow that matters. This was a joint asset, it's clear. And Mrs. Somm had pure standing to go forth.
I know you're not on, you can't see me, but if you're telling me that we're here for a settlement agreement that is doing something other than setting aside the final judgment, isn't that a separate matter that you need to file separately as opposed to using this case to pursue?
No, this is a settlement of this litigation where I am counsel of record. It calls for a dismissal of this case with prejudice and a satisfaction of a mortgage in this case. And it was entered into and not even filed for months. There's never been any attempt to enforce it. And when I learned of it, I filed an appropriate motion in this case, letting the court know that while I was counsel of record, without being contacted by anybody,
I know,
a purported settlement has been entered into. So definitely it is in this case.
But I guess my question is there's no order that's ever ratified that settlement.
But that doesn't mean it hasn't been entered into and that it hasn't been filed with the court and it isn't a fraud and that I don't have a duty to set it aside and this court should set it aside.
Ms. Garcia, with respect to your motion.
Your Honor, if I could finish, and I hate to have to argue this way, but it's just like the motion for protective order that was filed by Ms. Garcia in May. Things get filed and never get set. So that was never set by her in May when it was filed. They filed a settlement stipulation to say, okay, we can't have, when you go back to try to reset the sale, no, there's a settlement in the file.
But there's no order accepting the settlement, is what I'm saying. Quite honestly, if you were to go back into the court file, it takes some hunting to find it because it's just a notice of filing. That's all that it's docketed as, notice of filing.
Right, and when I come into the court and I move to reset the sale, then Ms. Garcia is going to say, oh, Judge, you can't do that. There's been a settlement agreement. We want you to approve it. So she's going to wait. You know, I tried to reset the sale, and when I saw this bogus settlement agreement, I said, this is just another dilatory roadblock, and it's going to be argued at the time we go in to set the sale that there's been a settlement and the court can't set the sale. So I have to bring this to the court's attention immediately. I can't sit there when there's a fraudulent settlement filed in this court file months after it was purportedly signed and just ignore it.
Okay.
Nor could I go file another proceeding before another judge. You have jurisdiction over this foreclosure, which is being interfered with.
All right. The only other question that I have for you, Mr. Sweetapple, before I turn to Ms. Garcia for her position on the motions for protective order, which is why we're here, is... I forgot my question.
Perhaps that ends with the scheduling conference?
No, the four-hour evidentiary hearing that we've already done. I know that there was a court reporter for that. Is there a transcript that exists?
Yes.
Has it been filed in the court file?
Cynthia, you could answer that.
I don't believe so at this time, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. Garcia, I'd like to hear your position with respect to the motion for protective order. I am going to set a case management conference.
Appreciate it, Your Honor. I'm not going to address his issues because that's not what's set today. I'll address that at the appropriate time because it'll waste 15, 20 minutes because my story obviously is completely opposite. Besides the fact he waited almost a year to set this aside and it's been going on in the other case. Protective order. My deposition, his motion for protect, his notice of deposition was unilaterally set. When it was said, it was prior to the trial beginning. The trial has already begun. We're in the middle of the trial. I've already testified. And I think we're still in the middle of my testimony because I don't think he rested. I don't recall him resting. It's very unusual for him now. And he never filed a new notice of depo or a new motion to show cause of why he needs my deposition as attorney for attorney-client privilege in the middle of a trial that's already started. It's very unusual for someone to get a witness who's already given live testimony in a trial to take their deposition and start doing discovery in the middle of a trial. It's just not appropriate. And I have case law and I have rules. I can spend 20 minutes arguing, Your Honor, and explaining to you. But under rule 1.280 and under 1.380, I have fees according to the bar rules.
It would have been nice if it was filed as a formal motion.
I'm sorry?
It would have been nice if it was filed as a formal motion. I could have reviewed it all.
I mean, I can supplement the file if you would argument.
It's fine. I'm just saying it would waste a lot less time if you would file things in advance of court hearing.
I did file a protective order in advance of the hearing, but I assume his motion is moot because the trial's already started and I've already testified. So to me, he never filed a new motion to compel. Therefore, I don't even think there's something to hear today. I think that if he wants my deposition, he needs to file a new motion and he needs to show cause. Then we need to have a hearing of why he needs my deposition in the middle of my testimony. It just makes no sense to me. It would open the floodgates to anybody in any trial to decide in the middle of someone's testimony and trial, they don't like how it's going. So let me go do depositions of this witness and let me go do discovery in the middle of a trial. I just thought it's so well established.
What about with respect to Ms. Powell?
Ms. Patwell, same argument. She filed her motion for protective order. She's already turned over all her documents to them, to Judge Burton, in camera, turned it over to them early on. In the guardianship case, they waived her deposition by saying, if you go away, we'll pay you, and we don't need your deposition. You already have all the documents. She's got...
Your Honor, I'm sorry. That is a blatant... Ms. Garcia, no. That is a blatant misrepresentation of something that happened in a guardianship case, and I will contemplate filing a motion for sanctions for a blatant misrepresentation to the court.
I'll turn you in a minute, Ms. Lewis, but let me let Ms. Garcia finish.
I'll file the order. I'll file the order that was given, Your Honor.
I have the order. There's an order that says that they're not deposing her in exchange for her withdrawing, and if she withdraws, she could still come back and petition the court for fees. I read it.
Okay, so she filed an objection, Your Honor, which I incorporated. She filed an objection to her motion to compel deposition, a motion for protective order, and she laid out very clearly the issues and the facts. And in the guardianship case, she also had filed a motion to quash her deposition, and I've incorporated that. And I can send Your Honor a courtesy copy. I was uploading those copies for you to look at if you're going to reserve
order? Is there an order?
There is no order in this case on her.
In the guardianship, was there an order granting that request?
No. There is an order waiving the privilege with respect to the foreclosure matter. Can I get maybe some clarification? Is Ms. Garcia representing Ms. Patwell today?
No. My understanding was that there was a motion for protective order that was going to be filed, just like I was going to get a status report.
No, it's been filed.
Is it?
Ms. Patwell filed it.
Ms. Patwell filed it. Where's Ms. Patwell?
Ms. Patwell's in jail.
All right, well.
Unrelated to this, obviously.
An unrelated perjury charge, Your Honor.
Whatever.
That would have been nice information to share, too.
I don't know Ms. Patwell's personal life.
All right. Okay. Anything else with respect to your motions for protective order?
No, Your Honor. Like I said, I believe it's moot. We're in the middle of trial. I've already testified. There's no good cause for my deposition. And then if you do want to get into the exhibits, and is Exhibit A, the three things that he's asking, I completely object to those, obviously, because they're requesting...
I don't have the report.
It's not in the report, Your Honor. It is Exhibit to the notice of deposition. It's a deposition ducis tecum, and he asked for three items, and this is what I'm objecting to in my protective order.
Can you tell me what you're looking at? No one provided me anything in advance of the hearing. There's a motion for sanctions. There's a motion by a non-party, something filed by a non-party, but I wasn't provided anything that you're arguing to me right now. And I wasn't provided the status report I ordered. We're at the point where I'm ordering things.
Right. On April 11, 2024, you noticed my deposition in this case.
Right.
And on that notice of deposition, there's three requests for ducis tecum. And I filed a protective order related to this.
April 11th, 2024?
Yeah. Yes, Your Honor. That's when he filed his notice of deposition ducis tecum of me as the attorney. And I objected to the three attachments for attorney-client product, work product.
Your Honor, just for clarification, you should have copies of these that our office submitted via OLS prior to the hearing. So you would have them.
For some reason, I have no doubt. I'm not saying you did or you didn't do it. I'm just saying they don't appear on my screen.
Okay.
Right. I don't see them in my OLS either.
So I have Exhibit A in front of me. Let me hear your argument.
Okay. If you look at Exhibit number one, he's asking for all retainer agreements and contingency agreements or communications about payments from my clients. That's irrelevant to this. It's attorney-client privilege and work product.
Okay.
I'll
take all your objections as they go, and then I'll...
Okay, as to two, he's asking for all my emails, text messages, letters, or documents of any kind between me or anyone acting on my behalf and Amber Patwell or anyone acting on her behalf discussing Patricia Somm in any case involving Somm or the purported settlement agreement. Now, you have to understand, Your Honor, when it comes to Somm, we've got the foreclosure case, a guardian case, a mental health case, a new mental health case, two bankruptcy cases, an estate case, and a trust issue. So here he's asking for my communications related to everything and anything that mentions the name Pat Somm, which is overbroad. His only issue is a settlement agreement on one day, May 22nd, 2023. So that's, of course, overbroad. It contains attorney-client privilege. It contains work product. It contains communications to help implement. And it's asking for, you know, communications that are on unrelated cases and unrelated issues when it comes to, you know, the mental health or the guardianship.
Okay.
Because I represent Patty Somm Jr. in the other cases, Your Honor, and her mother communicate a lot, and she helped her mother communicate in different times. And they're asking for all my privileged text messages and emails. And I cannot produce that. My clients have not waived any privilege. I would need a court order, and I need to appeal it. I have to protect privilege. That's the most important thing in my job. So my clients have a free reign to talk to their attorney and don't feel like anyone can come at any time, including the middle of trial, and get documents relating to their communications and mental processes and their work product.
Okay.
For three, again, he's asking for all communications, text messages, letters, documents of any kind between me or anyone acting on my behalf or any third party discussing Patricia Somm in any case. Again, this is and or the proposed settlement agreement in the matter, including but not limited to Patty Somm Jr., my client, Kevin Hall, who's a managing member of BFR, who's a defendant, Candace Bernstein, my client, Elliot Bernstein, my client, Daniel Bernstein, my client, Joshua Bernstein, my client, and Jacob Bernstein, my client. Again, he's asking for attorney-client privilege. He's asking for work product, communications that are implemented where people are helping communicate with each other. He's asking overbroad. He's asking for documents involving Pat Somm in unrelated cases and unrelated matters. We're hearing one small matter, which is his motion to set aside the settlement agreement. We've already started the trial. I've already began my testimony. None of this is relevant. It's overbroad. It's inappropriate, and there's no good cause.
All right. Mr. Sweetapple, I'll let you respond.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, let me deal with why we're in this unusual procedure. Because after I subpoenaed Ms. Garcia with regard to both the found contempt by a federal judge in the bankruptcy and with regard to a fraudulent settlement agreement where she failed to appear and a certificate of non-appearance was entered based on her filing a motion for protective order 30 minutes before the deposition was supposed to start, which was never set for hearing. And then Ms. Patwell, who purported to be the attorney for Ms. Am when I was a counsel of record and never contacted, was also subpoenaed. And they have Dukas Tecum on them. Yes, these are attorneys. One of the motions, both the motions will go to the issue of whether or not there was a crime fraud exception with regard to these communications. So what happened procedurally? Judge Oftedal had a hearing in June. The transcript is in the record. Judge Oftedal instructed, gave us a date for a hearing, instructed that Ms. Garcia cooperate with me to have hearings on my motions to compel, and we were just shut out. We were never given any cooperation at all. We were given no dates. I had to file a motion for a scheduling conference before the hearing, but the court could not set that before the trial of the hearing began. I made it clear on the record at the hearing that we were still seeking these depots, but that we opposed continuance of this matter because it's just dilatory. The court denied the motion for continuance, and I made it clear that I still had these motions pending, and the court gave us hearing times. So we're here because Ms. Garcia and Ms. Patwell have done everything they can to avoid facing the truth and the facts. Now, how do we deal with situations where lawyers are subpoenaed Dukas Tecum and they allege there's a lawyer-client privilege? They come to the deposition and they put on the record any documents that they believe are privileged. I am going to, at that time, if it's appropriate, based on the context, ask for an in-camera inspection and be arguing that the crime fraud exception applies. Ms. Garcia's conduct in removing this case the second time before a federal judge has already been chastised, and you have a pending motion dealing with that conduct. So we have just, all this is an attempt to keep me from learning. What did Ms. Patwell and Ms. Garcia do and communicate with others, at the very least, regarding this purported settlement and with regard to the bankruptcy? And I believe it's going to enter into what did she do with her purported clients, because now she purports to represent Ms. Am's daughter of the incompetent, who is also, I think, on probation or in house arrest, who I have scheduled for deposition. So I am going to be arguing the crime fraud exception, but all of this vitriol about the sanctity of the lawyer-client privilege, I'm well aware of. I've been doing this for 44 years. It can easily be protected by Ms. Garcia coming to the deposition and telling me, I'm invoking the lawyer-client privilege as to these documents and identify them. And then I can ask the court to in-camera examine those discrete documents that I believe are not privileged because of the crime fraud exception or for other reasons. And these depositions, you know, I've already demonstrated at the trial, when you see the transcript, that the incompetent, her attorney, Ms. Garcia, stipulated to the validity of the committee members' reports. Those reports were already found and known to Ms. Garcia and Ms. Patwell, before the settlement was entered into. They did this at night at my client's house without me there, without notice.
You're arguing your case, so.
Yes, I understand, but I'm trying to show why the crime fraud exception is going to be implicated.
I understand what your argument is. Ms. Garcia?
May I respond? He's never brought that up before. It's not in his motion to strike the settlement. Now he's coming up with new arguments in the middle of trial, Your Honor. I can't sit here and defend crime fraud exception right now with no notice.
Correct. So what I'm going to do, my order is, with respect to Ms. Patwell, she's not present to argue the motion, so I'm denying her request for a protective order. Ms. Garcia, I will grant in part and deny in part your request for protective order. With respect to the exhibits, I will overrule the objection to Exhibit A. In Exhibit A, with respect to paragraph one, I will overrule the objection with respect to the retainer agreements. Number two, I will grant in part, I think that it is overbroad. I will order that you produce all communications of any kind between you or anyone acting on your behalf and Amber Patwell and anyone acting on her behalf discussing Patricia Somm and the settlement agreement in this case. I will make the same ruling with respect to number three. I'll grant it in part and deny it in part and order that it be narrowed down to just communications regarding the settlement agreement. That's the issue in this case. The proper procedure then would be for you to bring those documents to a deposition, refuse to turn them over, claim privilege, and then me review them in camera. But I do think that they are relevant, particularly given the testimony that's already been provided to the court's determination of whether or not the crime fraud exception to attorney-client privilege would exist.
Your Honor, may I point out something to you? You were misled, I believe, by Ms. Garcia's argument. There is a pending motion for sanctions with regard to the bankruptcy matters. So the deposition was not just for this hearing. So that subpoena deals with bankruptcy for that reason.
And I'm not dealing with that right now. I'm dealing with the motion to overturn the settlement agreement or to set it aside or to set aside the judgment. So,
I have to redepose her at some other time on this other motion.
You may have to.
Okay. Okay. Understood.
All right. So I would like to know when we can have a case management I would like to finish this hearing. This is taking an inordinate amount of time from the court's time. And a lot of the documents and a lot of the evidence is already admitted that the court needs to make its decision. And I'm very curious to hear what additional evidence needs to be presented to me before I can rule. And I can't get an answer to that question. So,
Your Honor,
when can I have an answer to that question? Why haven't I gotten an answer to that question already?
Well, Your Honor, I have a question for clarification purposes so I know what to upload to you. Do you want me to upload all the trial evidence I intend to use or the trial evidence that he has stipulated to? Because we're in the middle of trial and he's asking me to give him all my evidence now in advance in the middle of my cross-examination for the entire trial. As far as stipulations, he refuses to stipulate with me. I sent him the request to stipulate to facts. So I'm not sure what you want me to do.
Witnesses or evidence do you intend on calling, Ms. Garcia?
I probably have about 4 witnesses, and then my evidence is probably about 20 pieces of evidence at the most. I can upload that to you in camera, and that's...
I don't want to review anything in camera ex parte. I want to know...
Right.
How much time to set aside so that I can rule on the 2 pending motions in front of me? You all are lawyers. You should be able to tell me how long these witnesses are going to take to testify.
Mine are going to take probably
about... This is quite honestly ridiculous.
2 hours for my witnesses, I would assume, not including his cross.
Mr. Sweetapple, do you know who these witnesses are?
I can speculate. She's listed 10 witnesses, so I have no idea, including me. And, you know, so I don't know who she's calling. I haven't been able to have a conference call with her regarding your order.
We did speak, and I was so abused. I can't get on the phone with him. I sent the email. I responded. I sent my stipulations. I will send the evidence. If you're telling me to send him my trial evidence in advance, I will. I have my trial evidence ready to go. We're in the middle of a trial.
You ordered that 3 weeks ago.
I ordered you to meet and confer and narrow the issues. It hasn't been done. I should order a reason to show cause why it hasn't been done. I'm getting close to that. I feel as though this is all dilatory, and I am very close to asking why I shouldn't impose sanctions.
Ronner, it has been done. I will send you the email I sent him. That has been done.
You didn't have a conversation with him. You said...
We went back and forth in emails and drafts in Word. I have the Word document. I will give it to you, Your Honor. It's all of our notes and what I sent him prior to him filing the motion for sanctions. I sent him, and he never responded. He responded with a motion for sanctions. He doesn't want to talk to me.
All right, fine. So you want 2 hours. Mr. Sweetapple, how much more time do you need?
I think, Your Honor, if we set aside 4 hours for my side of the case, because she's requiring me to call witnesses that, you know, including the committee members, if she'll stipulate, we already have Judge Burton ruling based on a stipulation of Ms. Patwell on behalf of Ms. Somm that those committee findings were valid. I don't know why she can't just stipulate that the reports go in. If I don't have to call the committee members, we save, you know, a couple hours. And I am going to call Ms. Patwell or Ms. Garcia or use their depositions and Ms. Somm.
Ms. Garcia, what is your availability in the next 6 weeks? Are there any dates that you are personally unavailable?
Hold on, Your Honor. Let me get my calendar. How soon does he want to take it?
Not this week, but 6 weeks after this week.
6 weeks out?
No. Your availability. Not next week, but the 6 weeks after next week. Days that you're personally unavailable. Out of the country, having surgery, something like that. No,
it's all legally related. It's all just trials or depositions.
Okay, you're available for the following 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I have an in-person calendar call on October 21st. I have numerous hearings in the morning, so if he sets my depo, he should set it, you know, like midday or after, so I don't have to change all my motion calendar hearings. I have tons of those. I have a trial. I know we have a deposition. I'm not available on the second because we're already taking a deposition. I'm not available on the fourth. He's already taking a deposition of Bernstein, and he's taking a deposition. And I don't know if the court authorized that he's taking a deposition of the guard gate. You know, in the middle of a trial, he's doing his discovery. He's had a year and a half, but he said three depositions. And I'll have to file protective orders on the content he's asking, because again, in those depositions, he's asking for all my attorney-client privilege.
I just asked you a question.
Okay. I'm not available for sure October 21st. I'm not available for sure November 4th, October 2nd, October 4th, October 3rd. Those are all taken. Other than that, I think I have availability because I just canceled my SEC trial. So I'm available.
Mr. Sweetapple, what is your availability for the next 6 weeks, not counting next week?
I'll make myself available. I'll have matters I have covered, unless I have if you give me a date that you want to have it, I can give her dates I'd like to have it if that's what you prefer.
No. At this point,
do you have my calendar?
At this point, I will be handling the scheduling at this point. So what I'm going to order then, with respect to the two protective orders, I've granted in part and denied in part Ms. Garcia's As I've stated on the record, I'd like an order that reduces that to writing. I've denied Ms. Patwell's motion for protective order in toto. I'm going to order that Ms. Garcia's deposition occur within the next 10 days. And then you all have indicated to me that in the 6 weeks, not counting next week, the only unavailability is 10/21, 11, and 11/4. So I intend on placing this case on call and giving you all 24 hours notice that we are going to conclude the hearing that we had. And I'll take the evidence that you have at that time. And then I will rule on the motion. But
Your Honor, would you also order that the proposed exhibits that Ms. Garcia has be transmitted to us? I think she said that was done this morning, but I'll make sure we have all of them. She said, oh, there's going to be more.
Ms. Garcia, I'm going to order that you provide all the proposed exhibits. The discovery cutoff will be the deposition for your exhibits. So everything that you intend on producing needs to be turned over by your deposition date.
Okay.
Could I have it a day before, Your Honor, so I can review them and make copies for the depo?
Are you able to do it as soon as possible?
I mean, I've never been ordered to give all my trial exhibits in the middle of trial to the other side, Your Honor, but if that's what you're ordering,
The order is to do it before trial.
Okay.
And you didn't do that. During trial, and you haven't done it during the interim scheduling hearings. So, yeah, I'm ordering it now during trial. Correct.
Okay. Then I will give you all my trial exhibits.
Can the order provide, Your Honor, that it'll be at least 24 hours before a deposition?
Yes.
Thank you.
With respect to the guardianship case, Ms. Lewis, you had indicated that you had information you want to present to the court.
I think Mr. Sweetapple clarified, and I think that, Your Honor, once you stated that you had a copy of the order that dealt with Ms. Patwell's resignation, I don't think there's anything else for me to add, but thank you.
I'm going to order that the transcript of the prior hearing be filed in the court file within the next 3 days, 3 business days, so by Wednesday of next week. And then my chambers will reach out, and when I look at my schedule, and I intend on calling this matter up to conclude the hearing, there won't be any further extensions and there won't be any further continuances. You all have had enough time to prepare this for these two motions.
Your Honor, do I upload my exhibits to the e-courtesy?
I need to rule on them during the trial. And quite honestly, I don't want to review anything ahead of time. I'd like, when I say that I would like to have you all review them ahead of time, is to make it smooth so that the day that we use for this hearing isn't spent with a test of my knowledge of the evidence code. But if that's what we're going to do, that's fine. That's just your time that you're wasting finding out if I truly understand hearsay or not.
Your Honor, I understand. You seem very insulted that I was trying to do my job.
I'm not insulted by anyone. I am frustrated that I continuously make orders in the case that are not complied with, and I'm frustrated that this matter has taken as long as it has to seek resolution. That's my only frustration, but I'm not mad at anyone. I understand that everyone has busy lives and this is not their only case. I understand it all.
And may I ask one more request, Your Honor? Since I'm being compelled to produce all my trial evidence, can he be compelled to produce all his trial evidence?
Yes,
also 24 hours before my deposition.
You turn over any additional evidence that you have other than what would come from her deposition, it'd be turned over within 24 hours of her deposition as well.
But I also have depositions pending of Ms. Somm and Mr. Bernstein and the guard gate, so I would have some other records I'll be obtaining. I'll give them to her immediately.
Well,
I'm sorry, he just said he had the deposition of the guardian?
The guard gate.
Guard gate.
Oh, guard gate. Okay, thank you. Sorry, Your Honor. Thank you for the clarification.
Your Honor.
What may occur, though, is I may call this matter up before those depositions take place. And what I'm telling you is you've had enough time to take these depositions. So if I call this up before you take those depositions, I'm not going to continue the matter for you allowed to take additional depositions. You can call the witnesses and I can take their testimony at the time, or you cannot call the witnesses. That'll be a decision that you make. But the time to discover and determine the circumstances surrounding a settlement agreement that was purportedly signed over a year ago has come and gone, and now it's my decision whether or not it's valid settlement agreement or whether or not I should set aside the judgment according to Ms. Garcia's motion, and that's what I intend on doing. Okay?
Thank you, Your
Honor. May I add one date to the dates of unavailability?
Sure.
It was October 17th, if you don't mind.
October 17th?
Yes, thank you.
That's our arbitration. I forgot we have an arbitration that day.
Okay. We have your unavailability dates. You have my order. Will someone provide me an order that conforms with my rulings?
We'll do that, Your Honor.
Please show it to Ms. Garcia before you do submit it to the online scheduling system.
We'll do that, Your Honor. Thank you for hearing us.
Thank you all. Y'all have a nice day.
Thank you, Your Honor. Have a good day.